time to feel the rush of the round table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, News Talk 1010 political analyst and a guy that I think wore the exact right glasses for election coverage earlier this week, Scott Reed joins us. How are you, Scott?
Thank you very much. I'm wearing the same glasses right now because they work for radio as well as television.
Cool color, cool frames, cool hue of blue.
Sharp.
Very sharp dress, man. Carmen Wong is here, former journalist and communications advisor to the premier, founder of KPW Communications, someone that also looks great on TV. How are you, Carmen?
Good, thanks. How's everyone?
Oh, we're doing very well, thank you.
Premier Doug Ford today called for patience as Ontario's vaccine passport system went into effect while the province reported 463 new COVID-19 cases. He also said, listen, if you're hesitant out there, I understand why.
I know that many people are concerned about the certificate and what it means for your civil liberties. I know that this is a divisive issue, and that's understandable. I want you to know that I hear you. Our government understands your concerns. And it's no secret that I was reluctant to use this tool. But our highest concern, what keeps me up at night, is ensuring we never lose our hard-fought progress. We can't afford to shut down again or experience a sudden surge in cases, like we're seeing in other provinces across the country. And I truly believe that this tool, these certificates, they're the best chance we have to get through this coming months without having to move backwards.
Scott, what do you think the next days and weeks are going to look like with this thing? Is it going to run smoothly? Will we have a lot of hiccups? What are you seeing and what are you hearing out there?
I think it's going to be pretty chaotic. I think it's really going to be tough. I was speaking to somebody today who is in a management position for a big restaurant chain, and they're dreading it. They're dreading the position that the people who are in their front of house are going to be put in terms of saying, okay, well, all right, I've checked it. I've had to check it twice. I've looked at your driver's license. Doesn't quite come up. The people who are, I think two things about what the premier had to say. One, and I'm actually pretty forgiving when it comes to, you know, you got to work through the first few days and all that kind of stuff, but they should have put in place a standardized province-wide certificate, not saying everybody can just show up with whatever scrap of paper they happen to have. I think that puts too much pressure on small business people. The second thing is I literally lose it when I hear the premier talking about how divisive this issue is. It's actually not that divisive. This is like an 80-20 proposition in public. And I'm telling you, in politics, 80-20 never comes along. That is a slam dunk touchdown. It's a problem for him with some people in his party and some people in his caucus. He shouldn't attribute that to the province as a whole. And if he wants to manage those people, he can go manage those on his own politically. But saying to the whole province, I was reluctant to do the right thing because it's a divisive issue. It's not a divisive issue. It's actually, there's an overwhelming consensus on this.
Carmen?
Yeah, you know, I'm choosing to be a bit more of an optimist on this than Scott. I think for the reason that, you know, the vast majority of people are vaccinated, I think they're gonna want to comply with this. And I think also a lot of businesses are going to want to do this because it makes their customers feel more comfortable. Where I do think the government has failed, and I agree with Scott, is on the technology side. They've been working on this. They were working on this months and months ago when they were contemplating it. The technology should have been in place before putting this into effect. Also, something that bothers me is that unvaccinated people won't be able to frequent these non-essential businesses, yet they can still work in a long-term care home or hospital. How does that make sense?
Earlier today, just before our showtime, we learned that a 31-year-old man charged with first-degree murder and the death of a Toronto police constable has been released on bail. No shortage of comments on this issue, including from the premier, saying this is beyond comprehension. Completely unacceptable that the person charged for this heinous crime is now out on bail. Scott, I'll start with you. Are you surprised the premier chimed in on this one, and what are your thoughts?
Not surprised, but he shouldn't have. He should not have. And, you know, you can call me all wet, but we don't know the details. And, you know, we heard the lawyers working on this case themselves saying we hope the judge will find it reasonable to provide a little bit of greater a little bit context, of greater disclosure in terms of what's happening here. Because there must be a context. I mean, maybe we all can sit around and say everybody who's working in the justice system is a moron, but my guess is there is more context. Maybe if I learned that context, I would side with the premier. Maybe if I learned that, I wouldn't side with him. But he doesn't know the context either, and he should not be cracking off on this.
Carmen, same two questions.
Yeah, I don't maybe add in terms of what Scott said on the premier. I agree with that. I just think like there's clearly lots we don't know about why this person was released on bail. If the defense attorney is asking for a release on the publication ban, a publication ban is generally used to protect the accused and their right for a fair trial, an impartial jury, that sort of thing. There's a reason. And I think there is a the charges haven't changed. It's a first degree murder charge, which means it was planned or deliberate. And it's in the public interest in knowing the reasons behind the judge's decision. So I think there should be a bit more clarity here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. We heard about a guy named Cody McDonald in Alberta today. He found out that his 60-month-old son and his 24-year-old wife were murdered last week. The individual that they believe did it was somebody who is a sex offender who was out and who police said, you know, this guy is going to reoffend. He had certain warnings and caveats put on him when he was released. Those weren't updated or renewed. Here we are 2021 and this individual strikes again, at least according to police. Here's what the victim's husband had to say.
The support is unbelievable, but I just really want to make a change here because I feel like this should never, ever happen to any other family again. All I want to do is make the change. It will help other families so they never have to experience the loss of a child and a loss of their wife to such inhumane things.
The backstory is the individual that they suspected, this Scott, lived in the building. They had no idea of his track record or history. This father is just asking for more clarity, at least in that part. I think this goes a lot deeper, though, when it comes to somebody who police believe is dangerous, still out there and, having the ability to do something like this.
So, I feel pretty torn on this in a couple of ways. In the one sense, it's a gut-ripping issue and you can't help but feel awful for this father and this family. I do think this means that something has to change. I'm not convinced that it's the law, though. I think what has to change here, because I don't think that the right answer is to say, let's create one big law where we remove all discretion from those working in the justice system to manage this. I certainly don't think that we should be disclosing those lists, because I think that will unleash a whole other set of nasty, awful, unpleasant consequences. But I do think we should red circle this issue of, if the police believed this person's risk was so paramount, why was the Crown not seeking a re-upping of their conditions each and every single year? And I wonder if it was just sloppiness. Like, is this that somebody failed to show up at work one day and get this done? And so I'd like to know about that. But changing the law writ large to deal with this one circumstance and tragedy, I'm not sure that's sensible.
Yeah, Carmen, it does have the vibe, to Scott's point, that, the paperwork just wasn't filed and this guy was just allowed to go about his business with no conditions around him.
I don't know. I think if there's evidence to support publishing more information about serious sex events, them from committing crimes or prevents crimes from happening like this, I think I would take a look at it. I mean, there's consequences, and maybe that includes having some of your personal information, like your photo, available to the public. I mean, if we're protecting a convicted person's privacy at the expense of a woman or a child's safety, I don't think I'd agree with that. I also think there's maybe a bit of failure, as you said, on the enforcement side. If someone is gauged to be such a serious threat, there's got to be some sort of increased probation, increased scrutiny, some sort of conditions around their release.
We're going to, I just want to jump in here very quickly because I don't think people think you speak that slow or fast. So we're going to just quickly reconnect. But Jay, maybe you can hit Scott with another issue here.
Yeah, let's talk about a Winnipeg high school student. She was reprimanded, removed from class over her decision not to stand during the national anthem. She's Indigenous, 15 years old. Her name is Skyla Hart. And she says, people always say that this was a long time ago, but we're still going through it. All of the trauma from it. This got a lot of reaction today when we talked about it. Scott, I'm sure you can imagine why.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think I've had a consistent view on this issue in a whole variety of contexts, whether it's, you know, kneeling in football games or whether it's this situation. Like, I remember in 1974 being in public school and the Jehovah's Witness kids had to go out of the room during the Lord's Prayer and the anthem. And you know what? In my high school in rural Ontario in Prince Edward County, it was the kids who gave that kid a hard time who got a hard time. And I think back on that fondly. I think if you wish to not take part in that, you can do it. And if you're 15 years old and you feel vehemently about something, maybe you'll feel different when you're 18. Maybe you'll feel different when you're 28. Maybe you'll feel the very same. But you get to make that call. And the system shouldn't shut you down on it.
Now, it seemed to me that earlier today, Ryan, your argument for this was we're talking about kids here and kids have to follow rules. And that's the rule.
Yeah, I think it is a difference between Colin Kaepernick or anybody over 18, and even in this country, you know, when it comes to what they want to do, fair enough. But you're not in the school system. I think when you're in the school system, you're a kid. You got to go by sort of the house rules. We have Carmen back. Carmen, let's end on this one. Larry David, 74-year-old guy, hanging out with Timothy Chalamet, who's 25. A lot of people are saying, how can these two guys be friends? I mean, my oldest friend is Scott, so I mean, it's almost comparable.
I am a lot like Timothy Chalamet, if you think about it.
Are close. You? I think it's a little strange. I mean, how much could they really have in common? I tend to skew younger. Like, I have a lot of friends who are younger, but I tend to group my friends by interest. So, like, I've got my high school friends, I got my mom friends, political friends, TV friends, and those worlds are totally separate. And if they ever collide, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, Scott, I was saying this in all seriousness before. A lot of my friends are younger or older. I don't really have a lot of friends that are right in the middle, close to my age.
Look, I'm 53. Let's just put this right on the record. I'm exactly 53 years old. And you can save till later to say, my God, you look so great and you're so fit. I hang out with people who are, literally my policy is to hang out with people who are in their late 70s, early 80s. And the reason I do it is I want people to walk into the room and say, I can't believe how nimble you are, how agile you are. They all think I'm that age. And you got to play expectations games, guys. That's how you get by in this world.
Plus, who doesn't love being called whippersnapper?
That's right.
It's that Mendelsohn guy, right? I mean, he's got to be up there
all the time.
Wow, shots fired.
Scott, Carmen, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And of course, we love Mark Mendelsohn. We're just
yes, we do.
We're just pulling this chain a little bit. Our thanks tonight to Mike and to Donnie for all their hard work on the show. Great stuff today, guys.
Our thanks to you for your texts, your calls, and for listening. We're back tomorrow afternoon at 2. Until then, we hope you have the best Wednesday night evening.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you again
Enjoy for that.
You guys are wonderful. McHappy Day. Go spend some money for McDonald's charities and Ronald McDonald House. We're back tomorrow at 2.